Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a lot of them.
They said.
This is Wretched Radio. In between my never-before nicotine-stained fingers. Do you hear that? That's a lot of surveys. Whole lot of polling going on. I thought you might be interested in some of these statistics that have something to do. Chances are pretty good with you. Most certainly it has to do with the local church. Which is the institution we should be keeping our eyes on more than that big building in Washington, D.C.? That's right, Jesus building his kingdom through the local expression of an assembling of people that we call the church is what God is doing. Just like that. It would make that noise. If he just wanted to wipe every single beautiful building out of Washington and take over, he could do it. Just like that. It's not what he's about. That's easy peasy. Whether or not it's lemon squeezy, I don't know. But for God, that's nothing. Saving sinners is what he is about. That is a big deal. Persuading somebody to vote rightly, that has benefits. That affects elections. But preaching that the elect hear, now that is a big deal. That's the business we're supposed to be about. So let's take a look and see what's going on with our current surveys. Over 360 Church of England churches are at risk of being closed by 2026. I'm sorry.
You okay?
I'm busy feigning.
It's emotional.
That I'm upset about this. The Anglican Church, it is indeed Orthodox, but it is so straying. And what we're seeing is that when the state is not promoting that particular church, they're just going to dwindle and die unless they become evangelistic. And it won't just be the Church of England. The only big movements that are seeing any sort of growth these days, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, why? Because they're evangelistic in nature. Now, they're leading people to false teachings. But they're growing. Church of England, most churches, with the exception of Bible-teaching churches, shrinking. The Church of England has an estimated 16,000 churches. That is a pretty big drop from 18,666 in 1941. The authors of this study blame the downward trend on a strong cultural shift away from the Anglican faith. Well, no, that just describes what's happening. It doesn't explain why it is happening. And fewer people attending its worship services. No, that's the effect. The cause is not robust Bible teaching. There are some good Anglicans out there. I know a couple of them. There are some born-again believers in the Anglican Church who are grieved over its current direction, especially the Episcopalian branch of evangelicalism. Between 2012 and 2014, the number of Britons who identified as Anglicans fell from 21 to 17% of the population. That's a decrease of 1.7 million people. Church of England, it's in trouble. I would prefer they got their theological act together. While I'm probably not going to become Anglican anytime soon, we do prefer that Orthodox denominations stay Orthodox. Speaking of which, the PCUSA, a number of surveys that were done, nearly half of PCUSA, please remember the uni rule. If a denomination or church has the three letters UNI in that order, any place in their name, it's almost a take it to the bank rule. They're liberal. And so it is with the PC United States of America. See, it's got the uni right. You were thinking Unitarian Universalist. No, it's United. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, this thing is airtight. The uni rule applies. I just double dog dare you to find a uni. Okay, there is one. I have to confess, there is one. Grace Community Church. There's always an exception to the rule. Nearly half of PC USA ministers say fatigue. Well, that's too bad. They're dealing with fatigue. Is a daily part of their lives, with few taking sabbaticals. Thought there might be a lesson here for our pastors. While I have to confess, I'm not a big fan of sabbaticals. Most of us don't get to take 3 months off. We just don't. You got to keep working. So what should a pastor do to not be fatigued? I think that there should be regularly scheduled timeouts, like, you know, Sunday at least, or at least taking Monday off after church. Scheduling oneself so that you're not frying out and you are taking appropriate rest. I was reading a dead guy. I wasn't reading him. I was reading his work. And he was talking, I think it had the title Fainting Fits, the Pastor's Fainting Fits. Talking about pastors, now this is like 300 years ago, that were struggling with the fatigue. They were just burning out and they were feeling the pressure and the weight of pastoral ministry. He said, go for a walk. Go out in nature. See what God is doing out there. It will put your problems into perspective. He's busy running a universe. Look, listen to the birds. They're singing to his glory. Listen to the brilliant sound, different sounds that each one of them project. Listen, even if it's a crow, wow, wah, wah, is different than tweet, tweet. God has such variety. What a gift to us. And all of a sudden, my problems with Bob Johnson, unless, of course, your name is Bob Johnson, I'm just using you figuratively. Bob Johnson is an elder and he's driving me nuts. Okay, might be. Take a walk for your fainting fit. And pastor, I would encourage you, perhaps you can do a sabbatical if you want to. I'm not saying anybody's sinning. I just don't think that it sends the right message. And it's an indicator that the pastor isn't taking care of himself along the way. You got to rest, pastor. You got to do it. Pastoral ministry is fascinating to me. Christian ministry is interesting to me. Because you see typically one of two extremes. You see the extreme of pedal to the metal, just constant, go, 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 push and charge. On the other hand, you see a whole lot of lazy going on. Do you see that too?
Absolutely.
Regularly?
You definitely see a whole lot of lazy going on and the pedal to the metal, but the pedal to the metal doesn't last.
It can last. That's my point. Now, let's not just find ourselves veering and careening to the other extreme. But I would encourage you, if you care for your pastor, to ask him, what is he doing to get some rest, to unplug his brain? I have to tell you, that's what I got to do sort of in Boston, because I was really surrounded by super bright people. I don't know what I was doing there, I'll be honest with you, but there I found myself just with people who are talking with words that are just like, how many syllables is in that word? And then I would make the mistake of opening up my mouth. And as soon as I finished opening my yammer, I heard these words echoing in my voice, imagining this is what smart people are thinking about me.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Hey.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
49% of surveyed ministers said they experience fatigue daily. In addition, 35% of ministers expressed concern about burnout. How trained am I? Instead of reading while, I almost read white. Because these days, whenever we do a survey and a poll, it's always got to be about white versus black versus Hispanic. While 32% were concerned with isolation, only 34% of surveyed ministers reported taking a sabbatical. Well, you may or may not be able to take a sabbatical. It may or may not be wise. But I sure would encourage you to at least, no matter what your beliefs about the Sabbath are, at least take a page out of Genesis to recognize, unlike God, we need a real rest. When God rested from his work, he ceased from his labors, not because he had drained himself, not because he was weaker. It was because he did it to enjoy himself, to make a picture of the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. We, however, need it. That's why we sleep. That's why we eat. It is a constant reminder, I am not in charge of this place. I can't sustain myself. I need God lest I die. And I would encourage all of us to lovingly check on our pastor. I don't think that he's going to hate that you do this in the context of care. Pastor, are you taking care of yourself? How many hours a week are you putting in? How much time do you spend just taking a walk in nature to deal with your fainting fits? How much time are you spending on the weekends, perhaps just enjoying your family? If not, let's not follow in the footsteps of the PCUSA, and I mean that in every way imaginable. Let's make sure our pastors are being taken care of well. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Question, do you also watch TV? All right, don't mock me. That's a legitimate question because some Christians don't, and that's okay. But I did want you to remember that Wretched is also on TV. 135 Christian networks, to be exact. Wretched TV is hosted, of course, by Todd Friel and is a daily 30-minute program containing live witnessing encounters and conversations about tough theology stuff. You can find us on TV, our website, wretched.org/TV, and also on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. And it's only possible by the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can help us continue making Wretched available to everyone and also help us in our mission to reach the lost, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. Find out how you can become a Wretched gospel partner just by visiting wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
You know, just a quick perusal of the Wretched store and wretched.org, and you'll notice resources like Road Trip to Truth, Life is Best, Untethered, Wretched Worldview, and all of our resources have one very distinct thing in common. And no, it's not Todd's ugly mug. Okay, maybe two things in common, but what I'm referring to, or who I'm referring to is you. Seriously, because if you're a gospel partner, you are actually responsible for the resources we produce. We're just the mouthpiece, but our gospel partners are the engines that make Wretched run. Without you, there is no us. So if you're already a gospel partner, we humbly thank you. And if you're not an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one and help us continue producing biblically sound, Christ-centered content to reach the lost and edify the saints. Visit wretched.org/donate to get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today. That's wretched.org/donate. It truly does take us all.
Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Survey says that this is Wretched Radio. The survey doesn't say this is Wretched Radio. That's my job. But I happen to have a slew of statistics. That's right. A slew of them. Don't ask me how many that is, but it's a lot. For some reason in the media, all kinds of surveys popping up. It must be the season, or Lifeway received some form of an endowment and they got busy doing even more studies than they usually do. And I have the results. In between my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, 58% of female clergy in the PCUSA, remember, you've got Presbyterian Church America. Those are the more conservative manifestation. Can I use that term? Expression of the Christian faith versus the PCUSA. They report 58% of female clergy in the PCUSA report experiencing gender discrimination. Wait a second. People in the PCUSA, they don't have 1 Timothy 2 and Titus 1 rolling around in their brains regularly enough to realize, hey, this isn't exactly the way that it's supposed to be. And Jimmy, I do, speaking of Presbyterian Church USA.
Yes.
I found it a wee bit perhaps ironic.
Is that what you're smelling in there?
That could be the smell of irony. Yeah. This is from the Christian Post. Every week they crank out This Week in History, and then they cite all of it. So this one said, This Week in Christian History. Now, see, here's the deal about the joke that you're about to hear. I'm actually a little gun shy. Oops, I'm sorry. I used a trigger word. Oh, pun. This is going to potentially cause people to go, oh, that you're, are you suggesting nefarious action should follow this date in history? No, making a joke. And yet I feel the pressure, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's like I would not want to be a comedian these days.
Oh, no.
A number of comedians are talking about that. Seinfeld is one of them. Bill Maher is talking about that.
He's a comedian?
He monologues a lot. And they're saying, we're just telling jokes. We're just telling jokes. Now, we used to say that joke was in bad taste. That joke was offensive. Today, anything joking is offensive. Remember, for it to be a joke, it has to at least in part, at some point, suspend reality, give a little twist to it. I'm actually feeling the pressure. So, Jimmy, here I go.
Okay.
I'm going to man up. So, Jimmy, This Week in Christian History is the headline. I found it a bit ironic.
Why so?
Well, it says, Geneva Burns heretic, comma, first Presbyterian woman ordained. I thought that was...
So there was a comma.
There is a comma.
Okay, they're not combined.
No, I'm not suggesting that women should be burned. It's just let me just say that Geneva would be spinning in its grave if it weren't a city, that you can't actually bury. Well, I guess you can bury a city. Think Sodom and Gomorrah. Geneva would not have endured this. Geneva, which gave birth to the Presbyterian movement, don't forget, John Knox was a student of John Calvin. He went back to Scotland. And we can really trace Presbyterianism to John Knox and the influence of John Calvin in Geneva. Neither man would have been thrilled with the PCUSA these days. Let's get to evangelicals, shall we? The evangelicals have got a whole lot of polling going on. Nearly half of evangelicals say their church is back open with no COVID restrictions. This is a Pew poll. Only 20% of mainline Protestants say their churches are open. Are there only mainline Protestant churches in Canada? Is there any state right now in the Union that is telling churches you can't meet? I'm not aware. Jimmy, have you seen anything?
I don't think so.
Even California?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're even paying money to churches.
They're meeting again. Only 20% of mainline. So that would be your PCUSA. That would be your Anglican, Methodist, Lutheran, mainline Protestants. 20% are currently open. Only 6% now say their congregation is closed entirely for in-person services, down from 31% from about a year ago. Half of evangelicals, however, say their church is back open. I got to tell you, we should be remembering our Canadian brothers and sisters. They do have more onerous restrictions than we have in the States. And if you get annoyed with those restrictions, can you imagine how difficult it would be to be in Canada and cold? So be praying for two things for our Christian brothers and sisters: patience, endurance, wisdom, and a thermal blanket. It's almost time. We're getting pretty close, Jimmy. Yep. We found one of these, I think at TJ Maxx. You know those weighted blankets? You ever slept underneath one of those bad boys?
No, I have not.
Okay, you need help getting it onto your bed. It is genuinely heavy. It's, you know what it feels? When you go to the dentist office and they do an x-ray, they put that bib on you.
Oh, yes, yes.
Just imagine your whole body covered with a weighted blanket. Almost time. And I know what you above the Mason-Dixon line are currently thinking. Let me get this straight. You need a weighted blanket in Georgia in the wintertime. Yes. Yes, we do.
Only time.
Blood thins out. Oh, don't give me that.
I don't sleep with the blanket.
Weighted blanket. It's only because you didn't find one on sale at TJ Maxx. They're on the clearance thing next to the ShamWow, if I'm not mistaken. They're nice. Boy, talk about a connection between body and soul, between your, well, we'll call it psyche and physical body, that a blanket like that, for many people, it actually calms them. It kind of gets them under control. There are some people whose thinking starts to spiral, and if they can be hugged, even have their head squeezed, or lying underneath a heavy blanket, it just kind of calms them down. You know what Bible verse that is, Jimmy?
What is it?
I have no idea what that is. Half of evangelicals say their church is back open with no COVID restrictions. As we continue to make our way through this, the other 50% of evangelical churches that I hope are open now that may have some COVID restrictions, let's offer a little bit of grace in our understanding of how we should follow these things. I might remind you of the expression that I learned yesterday. They shared it yesterday, learned it over the weekend. A Presbyterian pastor, really good brother, super smart, Pastor Noah Bailey. He's from First Reformed Presbyterian Church of Cambridge. It's located in Cambridge, providentially, which the Reformed Presbyterians are very high on. He was describing what helps him to figure out what the reach of the government should and should not be. And he used one of the terms was essential. These are things that are essential. And I will share with you his list because, well, I had to actually send him a text, because I couldn't remember the words because he's way smarter than I am. And he called that essential. And then he described what is in the essentials: reading of the Bible, preaching, teaching, the ordinances of the church. Those are things the church, we don't listen to the government. They are not given permission to inject themselves into those areas. But they are able to inject themselves in circumstantial issues. Circumstantial issues being the physical nature of the stuff. Let me share with you from the tweet I received. I use the words element. Did I say essential? See, I can't remember. Why? These are two of those words that I just, as soon as you say it, I'm going, I'm not going to remember this. I was sitting at the dinner table with Pastor Noah, and he said these words, and I went, oh, that's brilliant. What are they again? Element and circumstance of worship. An element is essential to worship: scripture reading, sermon, singing, praying, ordinances. But a circumstance is not essential. That's where I got the word right there. So element, essential, the things that are regulated in scripture. A circumstance would be building, seating, clothing, time of day. Now, I can imagine that there would be some pastors who would go, hold on, the government has no business telling us about clothing. This is, we express ourselves the way that we want to as an image bearer of God. There are going to be some pastors who think that, whereas Pastor Noah would go, if they want to tell us to put on an orange jumpsuit to do church, whatever. Now, I'm not sure that's what he would say. But, you know, Jimmy, you'd think that I'd learn to not use colorful examples of ideas, because those certainly can be nabbed and used.
Oh, can they?
Oh, so I'm not saying that Pastor Noah endorses orange jumpsuits. My point is, he doesn't think that it is an essential element of worship to adorn ourselves a particular way. And if the government says, you know, you got to do this or dress like that, he doesn't see it as an other pastors will see it as a deal. And as we go about the business together, trying to figure everything out in our brave new world, I do believe we would do well to give a little grace on some of these application issues of some of the challenging issues du jour, which is also the challenging issues of the day. I think I'll have that. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Now, you want to hear a name you haven't heard in a while? Okay, so it's a name you probably don't want to hear, but he is in the news. Colin Kaepernick.
Over the years, there have been some very popular TV shows starring black people. White people love these dudes. The black character who inhabits white characteristics, who makes white people feel comfortable. Thing is, white people don't get to decide who's acceptable to us.
So, is Kaepernick saying that if too many white people like you, then you're no longer black? Is that how that works? So your gender and your race can both be fluid and uncontrollable now. In order to remain black, you just have to make sure that all white people hate you, says the man who was raised by adoptive white parents who gave him everything he ever wanted. Biblical counseling sure would be beneficial for Colin Kaepernick. Did you know the most important meeting on climate change in history started yesterday in Sweden? That's according to Joe Biden, the president of the United States, who described the 2021 United Nations Climate Change Conference as just that, the most important meeting on climate change in history. This conference is so important that President Biden personally attended. He traveled to Sweden because global warming is his highest priority, he says. This conference is so important that with cameras rolling and the world watching, our president promptly fell asleep. But I'm not going to do what you think I'm going to do. I'm not going to say the things others are saying about this. That's low-hanging fruit. I'm actually going to defend President Biden on this. You say what you will. It's a free country. But as for me, I completely agree with the president on this issue. I, too, think a global warming conference would be a total snooze fest. Okay, so I know Romans 13, it's a source of debate these days. When do we submit? When can we rightly disobey the government? The Bible clearly teaches if any authority attempts to prevent our obedience to the ultimate authority, God, then we are able and expected to disobey. As Christians, we obey God and His Word above all, which brings me to our final story. From Oregon, the Brookings City Council has recently passed a new law telling churches that they are only allowed to provide meals to the area homeless just twice per week. Apparently, residents, those are people with homes, near one of the churches providing meals to the homeless have complained. And look, it's understandable. People want to protect their property. I get that. But the solution, it's not shutting down an operation meant to help. The Brookings City Council has to have other options, and I would say, if pressed, this would be one of those instances where disobeying the government is appropriate. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the heir of all things. All things were created for Jesus. When Christ returns, all creation will be given to Him. And as our mediator, He makes us co-heirs and will share all things with us.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry. There's plenty more surveys where those came from. This is Wretched Radio. A bombardment of polls have hit the press, and I've got, well, pretty much all of them. Jimmy, you know what Lifeway should research? How many people appreciate all the polling that they do?
Oh, okay.
That would be an interesting poll right there.
That might be low.
Got to be careful with polling business, because we don't want to build a church. We do not want to consider our ecclesiology based on surveys. We did that give or take about 40 years ago. And hey, haven't we seen the fruit from the seeker-sensitive movement? Haven't we seen enough rotten fruit to go, no, maybe not such a good... Okay, let me see. I think that I've got inside of here, and this includes evangelicals. Hold on, I've got another poll here that talks about how postmodernism has actually infected Christians. I think this is it. 2021 American Worldview Inventory from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. Although 2% of Americans have adopted secular humanism as their dominant worldview, a significantly higher share of the population, 16%, embrace the principles associated with that worldview, secular humanism. So in other words, they don't ascribe to it saying, this is my creed, but they live like secular humanists. 1% of Americans have adopted postmodernism as their dominant worldview. 16% actually make decisions indicating their philosophy plays an important role. The belief that all truth is subjective and there are no moral absolutes is the most commonly embraced postmodern idea in American life, 54% of respondents subscribing to it. Okay, so 54% of Americans believe that postmodernism is the way to think. That includes professing Christians. Postmodernism has bled into the evangelical church, and it's still bleeding. It is still causing so many people to water down theology, to waffle, to give in, to not be those who defend the truth, to be those who are, sorry, Jude, I'm not willing to contend for it. I'm just going to be nice because, after all, truth, schmuth, that is inside of evangelical Christianity. And one of the worst truths that we ever introduced to the evangelical church, and I mean this is one of the worst, is the idea that we go out into the world to ask the pagans how they want us to do church in order to attract them. It's the attractional model of evangelical Christianity, and we've seen the fruit of it. Many evangelicals are postmodern. Why? Because they don't hear anything definitive in these churches, because you don't want to have sharply cut doctrinal distinctives. It might cut somebody. It might make somebody feel bad. Therefore, a whole lot of squish is being delivered from the pulpits. And with that, professing Christians have license to be postmodern. When are we going to realize, hey, you know what? I think we've done this work now. I think we've actually discovered the fruit of the seeker-sensitive movement is rotten. It's not just the postmodernism. It's Christians' attitude, evangelical attitudes toward abortion, toward marriage, genders. Oh, and here's one too. The percentage of people that tithe, survey says, only 13% of evangelicals tithe. Half give away less than 1% of income annually. Woofda. Half of evangelicals give 0.57% of their income annually. Is that a sin? The answer is I don't know, because I don't know what people's means are. And I don't believe, this is my belief on the whole tithing business, that we are commanded to give 10%. I don't see that as a biblical command. It didn't exist in the Old Testament. There were multiple tithes. Two different tithes for the running of the nation, the running of the temple, taking care of people, 20%. But every 3 years, another 10%. Gulp, that's 23 1/3%. So it's never been just 10%. Furthermore, 2 Corinthians 8:9, do not teach give 10%. Paul said give from the heart. And so somebody who gives 0.57% of their income annually, if they are giving from the heart, out of the means that God has provided for them, then I say this without any Southern sarcasm, bless their hearts. Don't feel shame for that. If you do not have extra money to give, you can't give away what you don't have. And you shouldn't be giving to go further in debt. I know there are some Christian financial advisors who would say, yep, you just keep giving. Keep giving. Well, that just feels a little too prosperity to me. It feels like, well, just don't you worry. God will get you out of debt if you just show yourself to be faithful. No, I don't think that we should be giving what we don't possess. Don't go further into debt to give more money, but give out of the heart, the abundance of the heart. That is what God is pleased with. And I am currently having a brain synapse. Please forgive this detour. Was just listening to Milton Vincent, maybe? If you haven't seen the clips that we've been posting of Milton Vincent, you will dig them a lot. They're at our Facebook page. Our Facebook page. Nobody goes there anymore. We've been timed out.
Is it Facebook anymore?
All the way. It's called Meta. M-E-T-A. My buddy Bart sent this to me from California. And I thought it was a Babylon Bee spoof. Facebook changes its name to Meta because they're trying to control the meta narrative. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
They're serious about it. They do want to control the dialogue. They've controlled us. They put us on timeout. Our Facebook page is languishing. You can find those Milton Vincent clips there or on the YouTube machine. And I think it was Milton. No, this is more surprising. Paul Washer. Two great preachers. Woo! Are they different in the way that they preach? Paul Washer was talking, addressing the issue of people who don't feel saved, they don't have the joy they once had, or they're just struggling with a repetitive thought, whatever it is. Paul Washer said, just stay faithful. The feelings will follow. Don't go about the business of trying to just rekindle the feelings. Instead, be faithful because God, here's the synapse, looks down from heaven and can express to the angels, look at my faithful one that doesn't have the emotional buzz, but being faithful. God is delighted in that. So if you're going through a season, which is not uncommon in Christianity, where you're not feeling it, don't panic. Just continue to be faithful. God is pleased with that. And he's pleased if you give 0.57%, if that's what you can give from the heart. But this is an indicator. Half of evangelicals only give 0.57%. Something appears to be rotten in the state of evangelical Christianity. Half give away less than 1% of their income. The median for church giving is 0.57%. Fruit of the seeker-sensitive movement? Methinks so. There's no explanation for that I can find. Couldn't we make a correlation? Isn't there a connection there? We don't teach much about truths. We don't teach anything hard like, hey, you've really got to work hard to examine your heart to make sure you're giving as much as you should and could be giving to God. That is his challenge, and it's good for us. It's hard, and it might cause us to do without a Dairy Queen Crunch Coat ice cream cone. Actually, they don't make those anymore, which is a bummer. I understand it. I think salmonella might have played a role in it. Remember the Crunch Coat, Jimmy? You put the ice cream cone into that machine like a habit trail. It just spins around, drops all these pieces of candy all over it.
I do not remember that.
Oh, that was good eating.
And I am sad that wasn't a part of my life.
Do you have to give up your Crunch Coats if you can find them at Dairy Queen in order to give more to God? And the definitive answer is maybe, maybe not. It's a heart issue. Change in calling is the top reason evangelical pastors quit. Lifeway Research, there it is again. Some 15% of Black and evangelical pastors. Do we have that with color? With every, have walked away from the profession in the last decade. And their top reason for doing so is change in calling. Okay, no sin in that. A pastor decides, you know what, this is just not where I should be anymore. This is not where I should be dedicating my time. I'm going somewhere else, secular world, whatever it is. No sin in that necessarily. But I thought this was a little bit of a bummer. followed by, this is the number two reason that pastors quit, church conflict. Ooh. A majority, 63%, felt their role was frequently overwhelming, while 71% said they were on call 24 hours a day. And in a sense, a pastor is. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't have guardrails to make sure that he is not having to sit with his phone and there are other men who can relieve him of the burden. Some 50% describe the job of being a senior pastor as greater than they can handle. Well, that ain't good news. 69% of pastors in the survey indicated they've dealt with some kind of conflict in the congregation. Zoinks, Scoob, please do your pastor a favor. Don't fight so ferociously that he ends up quitting. This is Wretched Radio. Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
2021 has been the best yet at Wretched, and I'm not sure I have enough time to even cover it all, but let's try. This year we rolled out a new curriculum of Wretched Bible Studies. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 was released. Wretched Worldview hit the streets. Tom Hammond's newest booklet, Solving the God Puzzle, became available, and Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth was released. And that's just our big resource releases this year. We can't forget about our big move over the summer or the fact that as of today, Wretched Radio can be heard on over 800 radio stations worldwide. Wretched TV can be found on over 135 Christian networks, our YouTube channel, almost 4 million hours watched this year alone, and none of this would be possible without our gospel partners. During this year-end season, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? 2022 promises to be our best yet with our new documentary series, Transform, set to be released, highlighting the life-changing power of biblical counseling. So visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321 to become a gospel partner today.
If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word despotes, which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are listening to your Lifewayologist. This is Wretched Radio. All kinds of polls, all kinds of surveys. They need interpreting. They actually do, by the way. There's one thing to do a survey. There's one thing to accumulate accounting numbers in a business, but you need a statistician to interpret them for you. I am your statistician. Actually, I'm related to one.
Really?
Yeah, well, She's studying to get her master's in statistics. Oh. That's how I know this. Otherwise, I would have no clue whatsoever.
You got to like math, don't you?
Think of me as your Lifeway statistician, because there's a pretty survey. They took a survey once to determine who does most of the surveys, and they discovered it was themselves. That's what they discovered. They're at Lifeway. They are doing all kinds of polling. Let's see if this happens to be another Lifeway. The state of religion in young people. I don't know who did this one. Oh, this is kind of fascinating, though. And this is hip and current, because we are just that at Wretched Radio. We are hip and we are current. They're calling the current younger generation faith unbundled. That's we used to call it old country buffet religion. Theologically, we'd call it syncretism. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Was that a song from Fiddler on the Roof?
No.
A little bit. Now, that was a song from the 80s. Same thing. Fiddler on the Roof was pretty close to the 80s. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You don't recognize it?
No, I do. I'm trying to think. I can't.
Maybe
think.
We shouldn't play Name That Tune.
Yeah.
At least publicly. It's probably embarrassing for both of us, frankly. You're just cobbling it together. They're calling it now Faith Unbundled. Pandora, Spotify. You can unbundle an album. A person can enjoy specific tracks without buying the whole album. It's called unbundling. So the kids these days in the state of religion and young people, they're unbundled. There you have it again, frankly. Fruit of the seeker-sensitive movement and another demonstration, postmodernism has crept its way into the body, where kids are of the opinion, it doesn't matter. I don't have to follow my parents' faith. I just need to follow my own truth. I need to follow my inner light and what I believe to be true. A sign of postmodern times. A majority of Americans being planned on... A majority of Americans... Where are my glasses? A majority of Americans, that'd be 54%, subscribe to the secular humanist belief that a scientific explanation exists for the creation of the universe and that no higher being played a role in its design, 54%, have become fools. Simple as that. The most obvious thing in the universe is the existence of God. If you have got anything, you've got an anyone, or at least a someone. You've got somebody who made it, who designed it, who had the power to perform it. Without that, time and chance don't get the job done. There are even some secularists, people who do not believe in God, who recognize with evolution is not a mechanism that is reliable. Evolution does not explain the complexity of stuff or even the existence of stuff. Hey, well, let me see if I can. There was another article on Southern Baptists are resigning all over the place. That's not it. Journalist reads filthy porn book at a Florida school board meeting. Oh, it was a book from the school library.
Yes.
He
yes.
got kicked out. You see that?
It was too filthy to read in public, but not for the
With
students.
With no children present at the meeting, It's unclear why the chairman didn't want parents to be made aware of the explicit nature of a book called Gender Queer, especially as it violates the district guidelines she was elected to uphold. Oh, there you go. Right there. That's not the story that I was looking for. This is the Big Bang is now dead theory. Surprise. Here it is. Found it. Hey, and it's not a survey or a poll. That's refreshing. The Big Bang isn't the beginning of the universe anymore. Ah, I think we talked about this maybe a week ago. This is another Big Think article. And they're not doing big thinking. Their minds are actually darkened. Because they've denied the existence of God. You come up with crazy explanations for the existence of stuff. The article said, where did all this come from? In every direction we care to observe, we find stars, galaxies, clouds of gas and dust, tenuous plasmas, and radiation spanning the gamut of wavelengths. No matter where or how we look at the universe, it's full of matter and energy absolutely everywhere in all times. They failed to mention design. And yet, it's only natural to assume that it all came from somewhere. Yeah, that's right. You're onto something there. If you want to know the answer to the biggest question of all, the question of our cosmic origins, consult the eyewitness account of the Bible. No, they didn't say that. They said anything but. You have to pose the question to the universe itself and listen to what it tells you. Here's what it tells me. It's big. That's what it tells me. It's powerful. It's creative. And all of those adjectives are mere descriptors of the Creator himself. The Big Bang isn't the beginning of the universe anymore. If we can trace the hot Big Bang back some 13.8 billion years ago, all the way back to when the universe was less than 1 second old, wow, that carbon-14 dating is amazing. We got it down to a second. What's the harm in going all the way back just one additional second to the singularity predicted to exist when the universe was 0 seconds old? Well, I'm not good at math, not a scientist, but if it was 0 seconds old, it didn't exist because it's not there. There's no time connected to it. Lastly, and perhaps more importantly, to those people who are theistic evolutionists, this puts a little bit of a puncture into your theological tire. Last, and perhaps most importantly, we can no longer speak with any sort of knowledge or confidence as to how, or even whether, the universe itself began. By the very nature of inflation, it wipes out any information that came before the final few moments where it ended and gave rise to our hot Big Bang. So there was all of this stuff before the Big Bang, but apparently it all coalesced into something about the size of the end of a pencil lead, and it blew up. Wah and la, here it is. It doesn't explain why several of our planets are spinning in the wrong direction, but that's what they claim happened now. They're calling it the hot Big Bang. Inflation could have gone on for an eternity. It could have been preceded by some other non-singular phase. God! It could have been created by God! No, that's a step too far, because they actually work very hard to use their supposed science to deny the existence of God until the day comes when we discover how to extract more information from the universe than presently seems possible. We have no choice but to face our ignorance. The Big Bang still happened a very long time ago, but it wasn't the beginning we once supposed it to be. If you have been spouting theistic evolution, this story is not your friend. Back to our poll. 54% subscribe to the secular humanist belief that a scientific explanation exists for the creation of the universe. No higher being played a role in its design. Sizable portions of respondents reject the idea that human beings were created in the image of God. 48%. 48%. That's weird. I thought 70% of the country claimed to be Christian. Kooky. Point to success in worldly pursuits as a source of fulfillment in life. Cite human reason as their primary guide for morality. Help. I'm scared. I want to get off. If we're all just using our noggins as our primary guide for morality, we're in big trouble. Thought this was interesting, though. Statistically, this bears out why we are distributing a book called Solving the God Puzzle. Tom Hammond's book about agnosticism, dismantling it. This survey, this is why we're giving them away. You can find it at wretched.org/puzzle. This is 6% of Americans completely reject the idea that God or a supernatural being exists. 34% say they don't know, believe, or care if God exists. What is that? That's agnosticism. I don't know. And this booklet, it dismantles that. I don't know why that sounded like Joel Osteen. I don't know. But it did. You can find the booklet at wretched.org/puzzle. And finally, most say life was better before Facebook. Well, there's a shocker. Ironically, they did a poll online. It was an online survey. 64% of respondents believe that life was better before social media. Zoinks. Ages 16 to 27, 28% said they're going to have to face it. They're addicted to social media. 2/3 of social media users support government regulation of social media to protect children. That's 75% of Democrats, 68% of Republicans. Well, that's ironic. Apparently, though, not with the book titled Gender Queer. We don't want to protect our kids from that particular book. Just the same, a reminder, there are challenges with social media. Not just for the kids, but for adults too. If you do not have some sort of a plan to make sure that you are the master of it and not vice versa, sure would encourage you to get one. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.